Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." If we are to follow this command of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must first know what our Father's mercy is. But unfortunately, mercy, like grace or even love, has become one of those words, those attributes of God that we hear so often that we are tempted to take it for granted. We hear the word so frequently, we are tempted to let it pass through one ear and out the other, without taking the time to really meditate on the Word of God and consider what mercy is. But today, our gospel lesson, really all our scripture lessons, along with the hymns and other propers, grant us the opportunity to consider what the mercy of God truly is, and how, in fact, God has been merciful toward us. And how then, in obedience to Jesus' command, we can be merciful to others. So what is the mercy of God? It is God's compassion, his sympathy, that is a shared sort of pain when he sees others who are suffering, lacking, or in need. And in the New Testament, there are two common words for mercy, and this word that is used today in our gospel lesson is the less frequent word, which stresses, which has the effect of even more sense of pain on God's part as he looks upon the pain of his creatures. And God's mercy, especially as Jesus uses this particular word, is not just a feeling in the heart of God, but rather it moves God to action. It prompts him to assist. Now, to be sure, God is merciful in himself. He is objectively merciful. This is testified throughout Holy Scripture. The Apostle Paul begins 2 Corinthians with these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." James writes in his epistle, "You have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." And throughout the Psalms, for example, in Psalm 103, we hear the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God is merciful in himself. This is who God is. But God's mercy is not just an objective attribute in himself. His mercy is also subjective. That means it's directed outside of himself. God's mercy flows from him to his creation, indeed to all his creation, all his creatures, even the scripture says toward animals. And so at the end of the book of Jonah, we read how the Lord took pity or had mercy even on the cattle of Nineveh. That's why the psalmist also routinely calls on all creation to praise the Lord. But while God indeed is merciful, even to the cows, and to the rest of the creation, above all, God is merciful to man, to sinners, to you. And how has God been merciful to you? Zechariah sang when John the Baptist was born, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The mercy of God is shown ultimately and perfectly in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is indeed the Son of God, who is the Son who has risen upon us, who brings us light, we who were once lost in darkness and bound in the shadow of death because of our sin, who has led us out of this darkness and death, who has guided our feet in the way of peace. Christ, the Son of God, is your Savior, the Savior of sinners. In Christ Jesus, you are not judged or condemned, but forgiven and given in great measure. Because, on account of the boundless mercy of God, Jesus was judged and condemned in your place. He took upon himself the punishment for your sins. He gave up his life for you so that you may be forgiven. And therefore, in Christ, God looks upon you with his unfailing mercy. And so again, the scripture testifies, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." How is God merciful toward you? He is merciful toward you in Christ Jesus, who bore your condemnation, who bore the judgment you deserved, so that you might be forgiven. We only know this mercy, this perfect mercy of God, in Christ. Apart from Christ, indeed apart from the Holy Trinity, we cannot possibly know God in his mercy. Apart from the doctrine of the Trinity, we do not know the Son of God, Jesus. And if there's no Son of God, Jesus, there's no incarnation, him taking on human flesh and blood. And no incarnation means no cross, no atoning sacrifice for your sins. No cross, no death, no resurrection of Jesus, no hope of everlasting life. There is no justification for you by grace alone, through faith alone. There is no peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, if there is no Lord Jesus Christ, nor Father, nor Spirit. What's more, if Scripture had revealed everything to us about God except his mercy found in Jesus Christ our Lord, we would be lost and condemned. We would remain under judgment. We would only know God in utter terror if we did not know that God, who is truly one and indivisible, who is truly unchangeable and infinite, who is all-present, all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal, holy, just, and true, if this God is not the gracious and merciful Lord in Christ and for Christ's sake. We will only know God according to the law, only according to the obligations, according to its threats, according to the curse which would stand. But thanks be to God, the Holy Scriptures reveal to us the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures reveal to us that God is the gracious and merciful Lord, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Scriptures reveal to us that God's mercy is known in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you, who took upon himself your condemnation, that you might receive mercy, that indeed you might call God your Father. You see, even in this command of Jesus, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful," there is a declaration of God's mercy, that he, the only begotten Son of God, the Son of God by nature, would say that his Father is your Father by adoption through grace. Your Father, says Jesus, is merciful, which means that you are God's dear child. You are Jesus' brother or sister. You are a co-heir of the kingdom of heaven. Of course, this is all that we heard last week in the parable of the prodigal son. What a wonderful example of the mercy of God our Father, who receives back wayward children with open arms, who clothes them with robes of righteousness, who bestows upon them the inheritance of the kingdom, who prepares a feast for them that they might rejoice with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. How has God been merciful to you? He has received you back as a child, as an heir, as beloved. Yes, dear Christians, you have been shown mercy. Again, as the psalm put it, Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. You have been shown mercy. And therefore Jesus says, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So how is it that we may be merciful to others, as Jesus tells us we ought to? That is, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Indeed, as God has first loved us, like the Father, we should have pity on others, have sympathy and compassion for those who are in need, for those who suffer, even for those who have wronged us. This is indicated for us in our epistle lesson today from Romans chapter 12. This chapter of Romans begins with Paul appealing to Christians by the, quote, mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And to present your body as a living sacrifice by the mercies of God toward you. You are to love each other. That is done in these concrete ways. To bless, not curse, those who persecute you. When someone sins against you, either unwittingly or even knowingly, what words should come out of your mouth? What thoughts should pop into your mind? The scriptures say not words of curse and condemnation, but rather of blessing, of mercy. Paul also says we should strive to live peaceably, in harmony with others, striving not to let offenses fracture the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace which has been given to us, but rather letting love cover a multitude of sins. And indeed, all this takes place not simply in the mind or in the heart, but even in your outward actions, in your words and deeds. And so we are to care for our enemies in their time of need, feeding them when they are hungry, giving them drink when they are thirsty, clothing them when they are naked, visiting them when they are sick or in prison, overcoming evil with good. This is what Jesus himself says also. Earlier in this sermon, of which we hear a portion, the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who abuse you. And in the verse that immediately precedes our gospel lesson, he says, love your enemy and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Here are some very concrete things that we as Christians may do in order to show the mercy of God, that mercy which we ourselves have first received. We may give, we may serve, we may pray, and indeed we may lend. That is to give money, to give items, to give clothing, without expecting them to be returned. Unless you think this is simply a matter of speech, we have an example of how this was carried out in our Old Testament lesson today. Joseph the patriarch. You recall how heinously he was sinned against by his brothers, who hated him, who cast him into a pit, who sold him into slavery, who left him for dead. And yet Joseph, not only did he forgive them their trespasses, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson today, but also earlier in the book of Genesis, he provided food for them and their families. He gave them land in which to dwell. And not just any land, the best land in the land of Egypt. Good land. Joseph loved his brothers who had sinned against him. Not only in word or thought, although he did, but also in deed and in truth. We disciples are called to live as our teacher has lived. Being merciful, not judging, not condemning, but rather forgiving and giving. Which, of course, as Jesus goes on to explain, doesn't mean tolerating sin or approving sin, no, but rather casting the plank out of our own eye, the log out of our own eye, and then in love, and love, helping our neighbor pull the speck out of his eye. Now, this is only accomplished through faith and faith alone. We must first receive mercy in order to show mercy. Jesus says a little bit later in the same sermon, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. And the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks." First, you must be good in order for good to follow. And the way you become good is through the mercies of God received through faith and faith alone. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that log from your eye is removed. He takes away, he forgives all your sins and iniquities. And then in love, following the pattern of your teacher, following the example of your father, you may help your neighbor remove his speck. That is to say, if you have received the boundless mercy of God in Christ Jesus and known it by faith, you will then be moved to show that same kind of mercy toward others. If you believe that you have been declared free from God's judgment, then you will be moved not to judge your neighbor without love, but rather to uphold the eighth commandment in word and in thought, not accusing them in your hearts or in your words to others, but rather explaining everything in the kindest way. And if you believe that you have been set free from condemnation, indeed from the sentence of hell itself, you will not condemn your fellow sinner, but rather recognize in humility that you yourself are unworthy of the grace of God, and be ready then to share that same grace with others. If you believe that all your sins are forgiven, then you will be moved to reconcile with those who have sinned against you, not counting their sins against them, but rather letting go of those past hurts and offenses. Indeed, if you believe that God gave his dearest treasure, his Son, and that through him you have been given righteousness, heaven, and eternal life, you will be moved to give to those around you in need, ready to lend generously, using your money and goods to aid those who are suffering, and not counting the cost to yourself. And of course, all of this is to say we don't earn God's mercy through our mercy toward others, but rather we have first received mercy, and therefore, having received mercy, we are ready to show mercy. So Jesus says, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Again, in that statement, we have a wonderful promise of the mercy of God. That through your baptism, God is truly your Father, and you are truly his child. And Christ has become your teacher, and you are his disciple. Every disciple, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And dear and true children, imitate and follow the example of their dear and true fathers. You know the Father's mercy. You have received it in Jesus Christ your Lord. For his sake, you have not been judged or condemned, but forgiven and given much. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, overflowing has been given to you. As those who have received so abundantly, dear children and true disciples, then, the Spirit moves you to judge not, to condemn not, to forgive and to give in good measure. For those who have been forgiven much, love much. And you have been forgiven a lot. Indeed, all your sins. All for the sake of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.